Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When he had his touches, which was, I think was six of them, you know, I thought he did well. He had that nice catch down the sideline. So it's hard for me because I want to watch the tape and truly see, again, all three of those guys. It's that part is new to us a little bit. And so we got to make sure that, again, we figure out how to get that thing right. And luckily, it is the first game of the year.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 to score. That is the voice of Matt Nagy. Let's get out to Rich Campbell. He covers the Bears for the Chicago Tribune and joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Mitch. How are you?
Morning, Rich.
I'm great, guys. It kind of feels like the vultures have just been circling and circling and circling. So at least the Bears get closer to Denver today. They begin practice for that game on Sunday.
And listen, I understand everybody's kind of picking apart that first game and reading too much into it, Rich. But, listen, they scored 3 points. For the love of God, that is a disappointment no matter how you slice it up.
There's no question. I mean, I felt like that whole game, for Mitch especially, but really the whole offense, was a moment of truth. I mean, what were we going to see that first time the curtain lifted on the group? And it was discombobulated by Matt Nagy's admission. It was unbalanced. You know, he needed to call more runs. And I talked to Harry Hiestand, the offensive line coach, yesterday about their problems up front. And he said he felt like expectations for this season, you know, this pressure and expectation to do well really did not fit his guys well when things didn't start, when the game didn't start in a productive way, that they kind of lost their focus mentally about how to get out of that. These are all really negative signs.
That's troubling.
So they really have a lot to prove, needless to say, against Denver this week.
And I think Matt Nagy's at the top of that list, Rich. When you look at, I have to say, I was watching the Raiders on Monday night and saw Josh Jacobs get 23 carries, and I thought, that's how you use a rookie running back that you're committed to. And he talked yesterday about David Montgomery and having Davis and Cohen and almost too many options at his disposal. But how committed do you think the Bears will be to making David Montgomery the focal point of this running game on Sunday?
Well, I think they will be committed. And just to go back to the Packers game for a second, you know, our reporting at the Tribune has revealed to us that the Bears had really planned for this Packers game to be heavily committed to the run. And Harry Hiestand yesterday alluded to the play calling and the run element did not go according to plan. And so the question is, why did Matt Nagy get away from their plan? I mean, if they had discussed and game planned and practiced all of these runs or at least incorporating the run into the balance that Trubisky, let's be honest, he needs, why did Nagy get away from it? I mean, I don't quite buy that he's a quarterback himself and he just wants to sling it a bunch, because they were fairly balanced last year. On first and 10, they ran the ninth most frequently in the NFL. So Nagy is willing to run, but what about that game, you know, led him astray from that? I think Nagy was introspective. He was self-aware about this, that he screwed up, that he did not get this right. And I'm with you 100%, David, that Matt's strategic expertise and his play calling, all of that is sort of an open question as you take into account the 18 games that he has now called plays for this team.
Rich, when you talk about RPO and relying on Mitchell Trubisky to make the decision, do you have to kind of lock that out a little bit? Do you have to tell him, hey, we're running here. We're not going to throw. We're not going to throw to the tight end. We're going to actually try to get a yard in third and one.
I don't think Nagy will do that, because those plays and the triggers that force those certain decisions, they're just designed to make you correct. and it's based on numbers and it's based on alignment at the line of scrimmage. So the whole point of it is to get Mitch in a situation where he can't be wrong as long as he makes the correct decision. But what they will say is that if he feels indecisive or if there's any type of gray area, whether he's reading the end and if he can't tell whether the end is crashing on the dive or the end has the responsibility of stopping Mitch on the keeper, they'll always tell him to give it. Just give it and then let things sort out at the line of scrimmage. Early in the game, on their scoring drive, which was admittedly short, six plays, 16 yards, they had three runs on that drive that were RPOs. So as Matt Nagy at the end of the game, it was Friday, said, hey, you got to take it easy on me a little bit. Some of these passes are RPOs where there's a run option. Well, it worked the other way, too. There were pass options that ended up being runs. And so, you know, whether they just tell Mitch, hey, keep it all the time, I don't necessarily think they need to go that far. They could call more design runs, but ultimately, you know, it's up to Matt, you know, spread the field, make sure that your passing game is enough of a threat to open this running lane, and it works the other way around too. And I just think that, yeah, you've got to probably get in a lane a little bit more than Nagy seems to want to in terms of spreading the ball around. And, you know, to the point of making Montgomery the focus, what's wrong with that? Like, do you need to appease Mike Davis? Do you need to appease some of these other receivers? I mean, you got to do what helps your quarterback. And to me, getting Montgomery as the focus, it helps your quarterback. It plays to the strength of your roster defensively, and it just makes all the sense in the world.
Rich, not to pick at the scab of coaching decisions, but there's one on defense, too, that I thought was interesting to hear explained. What did you make of yesterday? You got a chance to listen to the assistants and Deshae Thompson explained why Deion Bush was in the game in the fourth defensive series. It was just a predetermined thing that he would replace Ha Ha Clinton Dix. That's great and all to give a guy a reward for a good preseason. But the problem is that Aaron Rodgers recognizes everything. And when he sees a new player come into the game, you wonder to what degree he's going to target that new player. It just turned out that Deion Bush was on the wrong end of two of the biggest plays of the game for the Packers.
Yeah, and the irony is that Rodgers probably knows Ha Ha Clinton Dix, who Bush replaced, he knows him probably better than any Bears defender on the field. And given Clinton Dix's problems in Green Bay and some of the tackling issues and positioning issues that ultimately led the team to give up on him, I was a little bit surprised that they didn't go after Ha Ha earlier in the game. So the irony is, yeah, they finally went after that position when Clinton Dix was sitting out. That just is a really disappointing sequence for Bush, who, you know, the whole idea of training camp, right, is earn your opportunity, play well in the game situations. He did all that. And then when the lights were bright, the moment was too big. I mean, reading a wrong key, Townsend talked about that. Remember the fake end around and yep. He hit the 47-yard ball deep. Bush did not read the right key, did not read the tight end, that as soon as the tight end stays in, Bush has that deep half the field. Completely conceded the deep half of the field, and the ball was over the top of him. You know, the jump ball on the touchdown to Jimmy Graham, you know, as Townsend kind of joked that, you know, the good Lord didn't make Bush 6'5", and he made Graham 6'5". Okay, but yeah, the first one, the long ball where you've got to read a key, what do you do in that situation? You want as a coaching staff, you want to reward your guys. It's not like Clinton Dix is an all-pro and necessarily has the position locked down. And that decision just backfired terribly. And I wouldn't be surprised if that is the last we see of Deion Bush defensively.
When you start talking about Vic Fangio and the way that he puts his defense together, will his knowledge of the Bears aid him to a point where he can help stifle this thing again? Or do they know him well enough that they can kind of figure out what he likes to do in these situations and use it against him? Who has the advantage here? But the fact of the matter is that
they know him too.
They do. They have an idea.
Well, in this particular case, when we have so many questions still about Trubisky's ability to see the field and to work through a disguised coverage and to get from his first read in the progression on down to two and three, that's why I lean towards Vic in this particular match, because he can understand, he's going to have a good understanding of what Mitch can see, what Mitch is comfortable in seeing, and some of the concepts that Mitch will be good at, let's say He knows Mitch is comfortable. I'm just making this up here. He knows Mitch is comfortable against cover two, and he gets through some of those concepts very easily. Well, Vic can stay away from that and really make things difficult for Mitch to see. And we saw that in the Green Bay game, the way Mike Pettine had his linebackers over the center. He would drop those guys out into zones. They had their defensive line kind of walking around a little bit, and they were challenging the Bears' offensive line to identify things. That sack Blake Martinez had, the first one of the game, where he came untouched between Kyle Long and James Daniels. Harry Hiestand yesterday said that was a running back's issue. Mike Davis, the offensive line assumed Mike Davis recognized what they recognized up front and was going to pick up Martinez. Well, Davis slid to the right. Martinez got home untouched. So that's a combination of a new player in your system and communication problems that frankly, you can't have those. I mean, that's what practice is for, is to get rid of that kind of stuff. And so I think Vic is going to be all over that, and it's going to be really a test for Nagy. This is such a, from our standpoint, such a great storyline this week, because Nagy would have all of this stuff to prove as a play caller and strategist anyway, and now he's going up against a guy with whom he has no secrets.
I'm surprised.
So let's see it.
I'm surprised Harry Hiestand told you that about the running back. I'm surprised that Nagy has been as open about saying that Mitch Trubisky did not, they had the RPO options. I was surprised that he laid the responsibility at the feet of Chris Tabor. This Bears team has been pretty candid in defeat in terms of whose fault things have been.
Yeah, I do.
Is that surprising?
Yeah, I think we've always heard from them about honest critiques when you lose, but that obviously the implication is it's internal. I'm with you. I think there is probably a healing process that maybe these particular guys feel like that helps with, you know, publicizing some of this. To me, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, the Deion Bush example is like, dude, this guy's a pro football player,
right?
You know, he's a grown man. Yeah, do your job. I mean, there's no reason to handle these guys with kid gloves, in my opinion. And maybe this is their way of establishing an elevated level of accountability. I mean, I'm never going to question their openness. It obviously helps our conversation, helps our understanding. But yeah, it was, I put it this way, I enjoyed talking to Harry yesterday because I think there was a lot to get to, and there was a lot for us to understand about why things went so badly, particularly because on the flip side of this, guys, they talked so much about how good they were going to be and how much better they were. So they owe the audience an explanation. They owe the fans an explanation of why it didn't go that way.
Rich, thanks a ton. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Rich.
Have a great week, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.